All right, we are live. Good evening, QS Insiders. Welcome back to the QS Cast. Change of pace this week. We have Tarkan joining us. What's up, Tark?
What's going on?
Yeah, we missed you last week, buddy.
Yeah, I'm stoked to talk about Modern Horizon.
So that's still pretty much the buzz, you know, especially on the QS, you know, Insider Discord and mostly everywhere. I do feel it's pertinent to kind of look at it again, get your take. We may also have a guest jumping in about 10 minutes or so, time permitting. But, you know, we discussed this last week. We're going to have like a very similar structure here. You know, I was casting by myself. I was kind of trying to, you know, break apart and, you know, try to look at the announcement and unpack it and kind of see where we're at in terms of what that would mean immediately. I put together a short list. You know, there was a lot of great discussions about it. Some cards we ended up liking, some cards we ended up kind of not liking as much, and that's okay. I mean, that's like kind of what crowd, you know, sourcing is all about. So we are going to jump back into Modern Masters. I do want to hear your take, Tark. You know, we've kept discussing a myriad of topics about the product in terms of how it's going to be priced, you know, what specifically may be affected by just the announcement. We have seen just modern prices on certain cards continuing to increase, you know, not just we're not going to look at it particularly about what Modern Master or what Modern Horizon is going to change, because we just simply don't know from two cards that were revealed. This is more there's now a new focus back on Modern, and I think that's kind of driving up some of the prices, even more of the recent reprinted cards. So, you know, I talked a lot last week. We want to hear your take, and then we will kind of, you know, hash out. We'll take a deeper dive into some of the cards that are looking more lucrative, especially with cards being discussed in the QS Insider Discord, mainly Surgical Extraction over the last week, and a few other cards as well. But what's your kind of initial take on this, Tark? What do you mostly think about the pricing? Because I know you posted a very quick and early pre-order site that folks kind of jumped in on, similar to Ultimate Masters, that seemed like a pretty good buy.
Yeah, I mean, man, there's a lot of cool stuff going on with this set. First and foremost, I'm absolutely thrilled about this set. I mean, this kind of goes back to I'm just stoked about Magic in general. I think there's just been so many cool things that have been going on with the game, and WotC's doing a lot of interesting things, and this is just another innovation that I think is really cool. It's interesting because, you know, they removed MSRP and now we have this. But people have to remember that distributor prices, the wholesale price, is going to set the bar for where things go. So first and foremost, you can't think, well, they're just going to throw boxes out there for $500. That's not the way it's going to work, right? Someone's going to set the floor based on the distributor prices. And so sounds like the information that's been going around, I don't have any confirmed numbers, but based on the pre-orders that we've seen, based on what I've been hearing, the wholesale distributor price is like $60 or $70, something like that.
Yeah.
Between $150 and $170, something like that. So $200 to $250 is the price range that the stores are going to probably be offering, and that seems to be what we're seeing. The wholesale price might be a little bit lower. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, 230, just to interject really, 230 to like 250 is where the larger vendors are kind of setting.
Yeah, yeah, so probably.
For example, I'll look at another.
Yeah, so, and as everybody knows, they said that these are 36 booster pack boxes, which is a new thing for the supplemental like this, and it's not a limited print run. And there's been a lot of concern over that, which I found interesting. There's been like worry that, well, we've got this premium product, but it's not limited. I don't think that's bad at all. I think that's an indicator that they feel very strongly about what they're putting in the set. And frankly, if this set sells like hotcakes at $230 for the average store, and it's selling out like crazy, and people just keep buying it. That just kind of goes to show you how strong the Magic market is right now. I mean, all of this is an indicator to me that Magic is an incredibly healthy and positive place right now. You know, I mean, if we're blowing through these boxes, and I posted this in the Discord, if we're blowing through these boxes at $230 and the supply just keeps burning through, I mean, that means that paper Magic and modern and just excitement about Magic in general is really high. So that's really good. The other thing to consider is that just because they say it's not limited doesn't mean that they're treating it like a standard product, which is, I think, that the one thing that people are a bit confused about. This is still a supplemental, and though they say that it's not limited, it doesn't mean that they're just going to print it into oblivion like they potentially do a standard set. That's not generally how it would work. You know, if it looks like that they hit one wave, it's solid, they hit a second wave, and it's okay, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to just print this into the ground when the sales aren't doing well. I mean, the one thing that, to my understanding, is that Wizards has learned from Conspiracy and Conspiracy 2, they can't just sort of open the floodgates with these supplemental products and flood the market with tons of this stuff. So I don't anticipate that it's going to just be endless, endless, endless supply of this. They're printing to demand, and I'm very, very interested to see what the demand is really going to be like. And of course, it's going to be based on what's in the set. And I have confidence that Wizards isn't just pulling another Iconic Masters and, you know, we think it's awesome and then it's just going to be a bunch of junk. I feel like this is going to be better than those simply because it doesn't have a bunch of reprints. So this is all new cards that they're designing for the format. And that alone, the excitement of potentially building new modern decks, tweaking existing decks, augmenting decks, making decks that were previously tier 1.5 to tier 2 and making them stronger, things like that, new sideboard cards, just a whole variety of new tech being introduced to the format, that I think is going to drive a lot of hype, and I think it's going to make people very excited about modern. And like you said, you know, there's clearly going to be the aftermath of that is clearly going to be a lot of movement in current existing modern staples, which we can talk about in a minute. But yeah, no, I think it's overall this is all a net positive. I think this is going to be very, very, very cool. I'm most interested in what tier 2 or tier 1.5 decks become augmented and better and how that shakes up the format, because that's going to impact the cards in those decks, their prices. It's going to impact the prices of the competing decks that have to adjust to beat those decks. I mean, prices are just going to be moving left and right. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm also particularly interested in sideboard cards because new decks are going to be tested and possibly emerging that are competitive, and sideboarding will become, you know, obviously as important as it ever was, but it's going to just become that much more important in figuring out what sideboard cards are good and what sideboard cards that are already good and just get that much better because there's new decks that they're good against. That's going to be key here too. So I'm particularly interested in sideboard cards, but yeah, I mean, overall, I think this is a really good innovation, a really cool product. Some of the things I've heard some chatter about is that this is basically kind of their commander product for modern, and I absolutely agree with that. I think that they learned that, oh, well, we can tap into these popular formats by creating products for those products and new cards for them, and that works. And Commander has proven, it's demonstrated that it's a successful product line. I think they're doing the same thing with other non-rotating formats, and starting with modern because modern is the most popular one. Competitive non-rotating format. So, and that's awesome. I mean, I think that's super cool that we have a whole bunch of new cards. I mean, I hope people are really when people get afraid about supply and all this, it's like, well, let's first focus on the fact that we're getting just a slew of new cards we played in modern. I mean, there's going to be players that just build janky modern decks because they're cool, because they want to play with the new cards. So as far as the value of the set, I mean, you know, we're hoping obviously that the EV stays relatively high. I would say that what they've indicated, the two indicators are the price is $200, and the fact that they have stated they don't want to blow up the modern format. So I would say that what's likely going to happen is we're going to get a lot of cards that are decent but don't make a ton of waves, a ton of cards that are very good for EDH. Because remember, a lot of these, I mean, these cards, all these cards can be played in casual and commander and whatnot. So I think this is also a subtle way for them to continue producing cards that are good for EDH. For example, the Sarah card, I see that as a pure EDH gold. You know, that's a great EDH card. I don't think that's going to make it in modern. And yes, it's technically a card that you could play in a modern deck, but realistically, I don't see that card being played in modern. And it's awesome in EDH. It's like EDH gold. So this is another way for them to sort of like slide cards in there that are what that probably like whatever for modern, but they're awesome in EDH. So I think there's going to be a ton of EDH cards. Some cool, you know, we're going to get a couple of cool legacy reprints. I don't think we're going to get anything that's just mind-blowing like Force of Will, although I suppose it could happen. I'm thinking more along the lines of Counterspell seems like something that would fit in modern and be a cool reprint. Actually, a quick note on Counterspell. If they print Counterspell, that means that Teferi basically becomes a $100 card overnight. So just keep that in mind, because the Teferi Counterspell combo in Modern is basically like Jace, turns Teferi into Jace the Mind Sculptor. So as far as power. So just keep that in mind, that if Counterspell gets spoiled, it's likely that Teferi is going to just shoot to $100 almost immediately.
Yeah, Snapcaster probably would see a big surge as
well. Yeah, exactly. So that's basically my take. I'm super excited. I think that it's going to be, I think there's going to be, a handful of cards that are impactful in modern, a lot of testing and, you know, things that augment existing decks and make them better. And what's most exciting to me is the idea that tier 1.5 and tier 2 decks suddenly could become tier 1 decks, and just the number of decks that are good, that are truly good in modern, just expands. And that's just awesome. You know, so that's basically where I'm at. I think the EV will probably be solid. I don't think it's going to be bad. And my reasoning for that is, again, because new cards, it's not just reprints that people can be upset about, right? The thing with reprints is that when people don't get the exciting reprints they want, they're just like, well, these are just garbage cards that we already know or that we think are garbage and we don't like. Whereas when you get new cards, well, that's some of that's subjective. Somebody's going to like Sarah somewhere, right? Somebody's going to like some. So even if the majority of competitive players think, well, this set's kind of just whatever for competitive, you know, the competitive scene. Well, there's going to be a slew of other modern players who just want to create new modern decks, or, you know, a slew of EDH players that think the whole set is just EDH gold. I mean, overall, I think this is a really, really brilliant idea. And yeah, I'm excited about it. I think that the price point is very interesting, because it's going to, we're going to see, you know, a premium product with no limit, no supply constraints. We're going to see where the market's at. You know, if it does well, that means the market is really, really healthy right now. So I think that's sort of my take on it.
Yeah, it was certainly a long time coming in terms of the idea, and I believe everyone was kind of fairly certain that they would go this direction sooner or later, because they just can't keep putting these cards through standard and like messing that all up.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, even if the cards that they revealed to us, Sarah and the Cabal therapist, like, that kind of seems to be where they're going with the design. Will everything be kind of a modern linchpin staple? Probably not. There will be a lot of role players, maybe a handful or less really good bona fide staples. And that's probably what we can expect. I think the reprints from that will be new to modern will likely be more important than the actual new cards that they're printing. But that's just kind of my take.
You think the reprints are going to be better than the new cards?
I think overall the cards that they are bringing in that will be new to modern will end up being more important than the actual just straight up new cards.
Yeah, that could be true. Depending on what
if they start printing, you know, if they print from Legacy or wherever else, like Counterspell and Invigorate or, you know, what have you. I think overall there will be more of those than just straight up new, like maybe a healthy balance. But I think overall those will likely be more important, because I mean, if they put Counterspell into modern, this is just like baseless speculation. I don't see much being more important than that, right? Like, especially Force of Will or something like that. How do you really have something more important than that?
Well, again, unless they print a new staple that defines a new deck, or that is used with existing modern cards to create a new deck.
I just feel like cards like those define an entire format rather than just one particular deck. Yeah. But I mean, that's just me. I mean, obviously we don't know the cards, so I don't want to get like too far down the rabbit hole with that. So I did get a response from a listener. $165 a box is the lowest price the listener saw from three distributors.
Oh, okay, cool. So that's the distributor price is $165.
Yeah. Okay. That's across three distributors. And that was the lowest price.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, from what I've seen, so I think CSI is really the only, you know, bigger vendor to kind of put up their pre-order pricing. That was at $250. That seems to be the trend, like the $249.99. We saw the one that you posted for like $200. I think anywhere between there is where we should expect this to start.
That $200 deal was pretty amazing. I don't know if they still have them or if they sold out, but
yeah, I don't know.
Did you get any? For that price?
I'm more of like a singles person. Obviously that seems like a great price just like right off the bat, but I mean I just kind of normally go the singles route. I don't really deal with sealed product. That's just my approach. You know, if you that was a great price for sealed product regardless. But you know, so with that being said, I mean, with the pricing and going back to what they said on the reveal stream, I guess it makes sense. Like this set is somewhere between Battle Bond / Conspiracy and a Master set, right? Because this is supposed to be competitive. It's injecting all these cards into Modern, where Battle Bond and Conspiracy were just kind of like these nebulous sets that, you know, there's cool cards in them, but it's not nearly as impactful as a set dedicated to Modern, right? So yeah. I kind of get that. I get that now. So also, we were discussing, you know, in terms of availability, you know, they did say this is akin to Battle Bond and Conspiracy rather than a limited product like Modern Masters. The caveat here is still, this will be the only set to find these cards, right? So if there turns out to be a ton of new cards that are format defining and all these reprints, and this set is just like jam packed full of stuff, you know, increases in the set price are imminent, right? It's not like a Battle Bond where, okay, yeah, you do print True Name Nemesis or something like that, or Conspiracy, but you know, that being more impactful in Legacy, I don't think is as, you know, these days more desirable than cards being, you know, format defining in Modern, right? So
you're saying that you believe the box prices, while it's in print, could go above the $250 mark where, you know, where we're seeing the retail being at?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on what's in the set. But I mean, you know, it's, again, like, Conspiracy and Battle Bond, even in terms of availability, though, it's not the same as those sets, and it's also not the same as a Master set, because this is something entirely new. So we
That's an interesting thought. I mean, what if you just can't get... I don't know. I just think that...
Because, like, Modern Master sets, like, even the price point for a Modern Master set, they are all still cards that people... Like, they're all just reprints. Battle Bond was cards that are not going to be in Modern at all. And then this is reprints, not reprints, like they're new to Modern only, actual new cards. Yeah, so no, this I is like it. Uncharted
like,
territory.
Like, if you want the new cards, this is the absolute only way you're going to get it.
Right.
Only counterpoint like territory. But you're still talking about a $250.
Yeah, I do think that's like a little crazy, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't know what's in the set. We know two cards.
Yeah, I just suspect that, again, I part of the thing with being a $250 box means that, like, I'm less inclined to believe that the price is going to go up much higher just because...
Well, I mean, you posted the Ultimate Masters. I mean, I know those had the box toppers and all that, so that I am keeping that kind of in perspective. But what it was kind of almost a similar pricing of the Ultimate Masters, right? When you first posted that, I think it was the same vendor for the pre-orders. Wait, right, didn't they start around like 220 and then they just kind of continued trending from there?
Yeah, but that's because you and I both were like, this is not going to be there's not going to be a ton of this out there, right? It wasn't easy to get. Like, you're going to be able to get this product. There's going to be plenty of it available. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be conspiracy level supply necessarily. Like, they're going to sort of gauge the supply, the needed supply, but it's also going to be readily available.
Yeah, I just don't. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't want to peg this as like this. Modern Horizons is this. You know, we just don't have. This is an entirely new set, an entirely new idea, uncharted territory. It's not like anything, right?
Right. Sure.
Like, I'm sure the price will likely stay around that you know initial pre-order price, but I mean, who knows? I mean, they're already putting them at 250.
This is what's important to note about that. Here's where I will say that I'm inclined to agree with you in the short term.
Right.
Similar to what they've done, like what they did with Dominaria, where the first wave will probably be small-ish or smaller.
Yeah, and there will be like a supply drought,
yeah,
I think.
Right. There's going to be a supply drought in the first wave. So that means
there's definitely going to be a bottleneck.
Right, they're going to create a bottleneck to where the cards can have a really good high EV and the hype can be sustained and the box values can stay high. And then they'll, you know, open up the supply again. So I would say that I could agree that initially, but I don't, you know, that it's going to be weird, right? It could be a thing where it's like Ultimate Masters, like, oh my gosh, people lose their mind. You can't find it after the first month of release. And the boxes shoot up to $300 for a month or two, and then supply gets open, and then there's plenty available, and the price starts to come down, hype dies, right? Again, it falls back to around $250, $260.
So if stores are pricing this, like, again, I'll just use CI because they're their only one. They're pricing this at $250. You don't think a $300 box is completely out of the realm of possibility?
Initially, sure. Like, based on hype and supply, yes. I don't know if it's going to stay that high throughout its life cycle while it's in print. I don't know. And again, the reason I'm saying that after that window where there's a supply drought and then they just let distributors keep buying, bringing in boxes, I don't know if they're going to hold that $300 price through its life cycle. Now, again, eventually it's going to go out of print and then whatever, but during its life cycle, after the hype has died down and when distributors can get plenty of it, I don't know if it's going to stick at $300. I think it kind of, you know, probably will fall back down to its retail price.
Yeah.
You know? Because they can only just keep doing that over and over. We're talking about something. It's not like a premium product where I know if I go buy a case in a short period of time, the hype is going to dry it all up because it's a limited product. I can always go get one. I can always go get a box. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you can't just keep buying them out and go, and people only have so many sets of $250 sitting around to throw at this.
Right.
So,
I mean, that makes sense. The issue is, I think, though, well, in terms of just Modern Horizons, rather, is, you know, the two hyped like periods aren't necessarily the same. You know, when a master set has this kind of supply bottleneck in the beginning and there's like all this demand, again, though, that's all like reprinted cards, right?
Yeah.
So this, if there's like this downward pressure of supply early on, these are all brand new cards. I mean, there's going to be reprints in the sense that there's older cards getting reprinted, you know, they all are all still new, and then there's actually just new cards. So I don't think they're one and the same in that regard.
I get it. Again, it's.
But I mean, you know, what's going to be the percentage? Like, if it's 80%, you know, and again, this is baseless speculation. This is not confirmed. Like, let me stamp that all over this. You know, if like there's 15, 16 mythics or what have you, and like 10 of them are just reprinted cards from Legacy, like, you know, mythic Force of Will, mythic, you know, Caracas or whatever, you know, and there's like six new cards, then I think, you know, we do need to temper expectations at least a little bit because, you know, that's not the only place to buy those cards, right?
Right, but the thing is, Chaz, someone is always going to be able to offer a $250 box to undercut the $300 box. There's going to be an endless supply of somebodies that are able to undercut. So I just don't see how the product could hold a $300 price past that
initial first wave. Yeah, I get that.
You know, like there's always going to be a sports and more that's going to be like, hey, well, you've got boxes for $220, right? Like, I just don't see how their stores are going to be able to get it. The thing with Ultimate Masters was, and then all these limited products, that they're limited, and the stores and distributors know this, so they're able to work within those parameters. But when somebody is always able to buy it from their distributor and undercut everybody, I don't see that a $300 price tag holding past that first limited supply window.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at all, you know, facets of this kind of situation, because we haven't been in this, you know, we haven't had this happen.
Yeah,
before.
It's really cool. And I think in the US that the when they did the census, when they took the poll, Modern, I think, was the number one format in North America.
Yeah.
Number one favorite format. So, yeah, I mean, it should be – it's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be really, really interesting. Obviously, they priced it based on – they said, okay, well, I mean, everybody loves Modern. $250 for the box. So, yeah. It's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting.
Right. That being said, so that kind of covers just the, I guess – the box prices and the set itself. Now we kind of move into so what does this actually just kind of overall mean for Modern? And well, you know, even last week I was just kind of like, well, you know, it's obvious that, you know, everything from Modern is on the table. I mean, that's not really helpful. So you know, that's like pretty obvious. You know, no one needs me to tell them that. I made this short list. We've seen cards increase since then. Not necessarily the ones on the list, but there is starting to become some pressure. And some of the, you know, there was a few insiders that attended the last GP. This was last week. What was this?
LA.
Yeah. So, you know, there is starting to, you know, even vendors are starting to look at, you know, the kind of first, the obvious culprits. And we discussed them on Cast even last week. You know, the Aether Vials, you know, they were on there. I mean, they were aggressively buying Modern cards.
Yep.
You know, at least the linchpins. I mean, I don't know about like these little knickknack cards, but especially even the cards that are still doing well right now. You know, when we are looking at these cards, there is the caveat that Modern Horizons can shake things up a bit. I don't know if there, you know, this set is going to be earth-shattering, like where, you know, these cards are just suddenly not played anymore. It may take some time for that to happen, but, you know, we can't operate on that right just yet. In the meantime, these cards will likely increase regardless of that fact.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, we've seen even just this week, and we were talking about it in the Discord, surgical extraction. There was a bunch of there were a few key like uncommons. So you know that led me to, you know, look at the kind of the hot list from GPLA. Kind of look at a few cards, especially with there was the GP Las Vegas results, and then there was also a classic in Syracuse. So, you know, looking at that, I mean, it kind of tells the story of why certain cards are increasing, especially, what was it, surgical extraction. So we looked further. We were discussing some cards before we got on the cast. I mean, they seem obvious, but, you know, they're increasing all the same. We were looking at, and we did discuss this over the last week, Death Shadow, Mishra's Bauble, Bloodghast, and one that I think is another pretty strong candidate to start increasing at a rapid pace here, akin to surgical extraction. Although, again, this is a high buy-in. Obviously, this is not like go out and buy 500 copies of this card. But I was really considering, you know, looking at Leyline of the Void as well. It's definitely on the common, you know, the top 50 Modern cards list, and is just as important.